Advent is a time of waiting, of anticipation and preparation to celebrate the birth of the Son of God. And there are many ways to get ready for Christmas. Presents and cookies, one of my favorites. Of course, that you could get too much being a pastor, you know, all the things that are brought to you. And all kinds of ways. Trees, of course, we've been talking about that these Wednesday evenings. The tree of life and the family tree. But tonight, another way to prepare for Christmas, the Jesse tree. What's a Jesse tree? Well, it's a tree branch decorated with symbols representing the stories of people in Jesus' history. Now, I don't want to say it is family tree because that's more of the genealogy. It stems from Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Jesse was the father of David, one of Israel's mightiest and most famous kings. And it was from David's lineage that Jesus came. The idea of using a Jesse tree to celebrate Advent came from this idea. Before the symbol is hung on the tree, a scripture passage is read, a Bible story that pertains to that person. And I put in your folder tonight a chart of different readings for the observance of a Jesse tree. The idea would be that the 25 days of December leading up to Christmas, you gather in your home, you read a Bible story, you might make an ornament, or you might put a drawing of the symbol, make up your own symbol, or use some suggested there. You might take that sheet and put it away for next year. It might be a good way for your family to devote some time to preparing for Christmas in a holy way. But as you look at that sheet, you can see that it starts with creation and goes through the major characters of the Old Testament for 25 days of December leading up to Christmas. Now, last Wednesday, we heard about the family tree of Jesus, his genealogy. But this is another way to prepare for Christmas, and I like to call it the action history. Because it's not just the family. We're talking about characters and events and how God acted through people to get things ready for the world's greatest event, the coming of the Son of God. Now, some people think, oh, well, the Old Testament, that's all before Jesus, so it's not so important. I don't need to learn that so much. So even some preachers say, we only preach on the New Testament in the church. Really, we miss out a lot because the best commentary on the New Testament is the Old Testament. In other words, we understand the New Testament if we know the stories and the meaning of the Old Testament. And how important is this? Well, for instance, how can you imagine Christianity without the promise to Abraham that his family would be a blessing to all people, and that he would be the father of many nations, including, you might say, the father of our faith? Would we understand that if we didn't know who Abraham was? Or could we understand the weight of the decision of God the Father to send his only son to die for us? Could we understand that if we didn't have that account of Abraham being asked to sacrifice his only son, who all the promises were supposed to come through, and he was willing to do that there on Mount Moriah? How could we understand the goodness of God toward sinners if we never heard how Joseph was mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery? And later, when he rose to power in Egypt, his brothers came to him for food. And when they recognized who he was, he said to them, "The evil that you did to me, God used that for good to keep many people alive." Almost eerie, isn't it? Instead of Joseph, put the name Jesus there. The evil that we did to him, we intended for bad, crucifying him, but God used it for good that many should live. He's talking about us there, isn't he? How would we ever know how Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world if we never learned how the blood of the Lamb on the door of the Israelites turned away the angel of death as he passed over Egypt and killed all of the firstborn males of each family, but spared those Israelites as they trusted in that promise that God had made and delivered them from slavery. If we didn't learn about how Joshua defeated the great walled city of Jericho merely by doing a silly thing that seemingly silly that God asked him to do, walking around the city with all of the people once a day for 7 days, and the seventh day, seven times, and then blowing their horns, what good is that going to do against such a military might? And yet, we learn from that story the importance of following God's word in everything, even though we don't understand or see the immediate purpose of all that the Lord asks us in his holy word. Sometimes the things that we face in life are almost too hard to bear. I'm talking about people right now losing their jobs and having to move and who knows where just to find a place to earn a living and feed their family. It's tragic, but kids don't always grow up and get the care they need. Illnesses come and rob us of our health, ending our lives and our loved ones' lives years before we expect it should happen. When times like this come and things like this happen to us, how do we understand the concept of a loving God when we are suffering so? Well, we can look to the Jesse tree, and we can see the people of God, beloved people of God, of the covenant of the promise, suffering. Yes, suffering. And when we see that, we understand two things. One, namely, that sin is the cause. Sin is the reason that we suffer. The children of Israel suffered greatly because of their sins, because their nation had forgotten the commands that the Lord had at great pains gone to deliver to them. We suffer today because our nation is turning its back on God. Has been for a long time. It just keeps getting worse. We're all going to suffer because of that. We will continue to suffer as long as we live in this world. But number two, we also learn from the Jesse tree that when people repent, that is when they recognize their sin, and that they have turned their back on the God who made them and loves them, God forgives and restores them. After the people of Israel had suffered economic decline, after their enemies had attacked them and triumphed over them, resulting finally in the invasion of their country and the murder and deportation of just about all of the citizens, the people cried out to God again. They asked God to help them. They recognized their sins, and they recognized that what happened to their great nation was deserved. They turned their back on God. They asked for his forgiveness. And you know what happened? God heard their prayers. He forgave them. And he led back, not all the people, for many had died, but he led back a remnant. He kept his promise, and he led back a group, and he sustained them through the centuries. Ruler after ruler and nation after nation conquered them, but he kept them alive and that faith alive until the time was right to visit them. What can we learn from this today? Well, I think first of all, we can learn that the consequences that we have seen, the economic recession that we're in right now that's making it hard, is good. Yes, it's good if it leads us to repent, if it turns people back to God. And even at Christmas time, this is going to be Christmas different for a lot of people than years past. We're not just in buy, buy, buy mode, are we? Because we're wondering, are we going to have money to pay the bills later on? The belt is being tightened, but it helps us to see what Christmas is really about. It's not about buying. It's really not about getting either, unless you're talking about getting the Son of God, getting the forgiveness of sins, getting eternal life and God's approval, getting confidence and hope that the whole world may pass away. But those who trust in the Lord God and his Messiah shall never pass away, but live forever. It's a good year to get back to basics in the Christmas story. Now, David was the son of Jesse, and when he was king of Israel, the nation was at its height. Never again in its history did it ever enjoy the peace, the protection, and the overall exuberance that it did during the time of King David and his son, King Solomon. And yet, there is a different kind of prosperity in store. For when Jesus came, some 1,000 years after the reign of King David, the riches of God were released from heaven, and they showered down from the storehouses of heaven to earth. Not money, not economic prosperity, not military might and closed borders, but love and forgiveness like the world had never known. The Jesse tree reminds us of that. It reminds us that we, like countless generations before us, are guilty of sinning against the commands of the Lord. It reminds us also that no sin is too great, too ugly, too black for God to forgive. And that is why we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth with great joy. He brought forgiveness to the world, to the people of God, to the people of old, and to the people of today. So we prepare to celebrate the holy day in a proper way by confessing that we are sinners, taking our place with those people in the Old Testament who turned their back on the Lord, but also turned back to God and prayed for his forgiveness and grace. And calling on the name of the Lord, remembering the blessing of Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem to set us free. It is his birth. We shall celebrate just a week from tomorrow. God bless you as you prepare your hearts to welcome Jesus, Savior of the world. In his name and with his blessing. Amen.